let's begin. My name is Catherine Day, and I am an IT advisor, probably one of the remaining ones left in the country. And I work for Suffolk County Council, so kind of over to the east of the country. I'm conscious we've got quite an international audience, actually, so this could be quite interesting. Terry emailed me and said, would you like to do something about the curriculum? Because the first time we ever met was actually at the Royal Society in London when they were starting their discussions about what was going to happen with the curriculum and everything that was going on. So I'm not going to talk for very long, but I was thinking about this, and because I do a lot of work with schools developing their curriculum across primary and secondary, I started to think of the documents that I would use in order to do that, because I think we're actually at an incredibly interesting time and place at the moment. So, I don't know how many of you have seen, not that one, this one, this document that came out at the end of the year. Basically, what Mr. Gove spoke about yesterday is really what's in here, and there are not very many references to IT, but it is in here. So the first one is that they are redesigning the curriculum, and information and communication technology is to be reclassified as part of the basic curriculum, which basically means it's no longer statutory, in a sense. We only have three statutory subjects under this proposal: English, Maths and Science. Everything else comes kind of and falls outside. Oh, and PE, sorry, yeah. But there is also this proviso, and requirements should be established that it permeates all national curriculum subjects. Now, for those of you who've worked in IT in England, you'll know quite how successful IT across the curriculum wasn't, in the fact that it hasn't permeated through. A large part of my job, apart from the IT curriculum, is actually working with teachers of all disciplines in order to try to get them to use the kind of stuff we're all excited about and talking about in order to enhance the learning and teaching that goes on in their classroom, and hopefully engage some of the kids who are maybe more difficult to get to. It then goes on to say, and this is quite an interesting point as well, we have also noted the arguments that there should be more widespread teaching of computer science in secondary schools, and we recommend that this proposition is properly considered. So we now have a big move by the Royal Society, by the Computing at Schools people, in order to bring computing back into the curriculum. When I started teaching 10 years ago, ICT was still a fairly new subject in schools, and what seems to have happened is that computing has left, ICT has come in, and it's almost as though the two can't actually mix, and I'm not convinced that that's the case. The other thing that's worth noting about the basic curriculum, which I find quite entertaining as well, is that the basic curriculum, so IT will be part of that, is a compulsory curricular requirement, and this is the big one, but schools determine appropriate specific content, okay? Which is why I came back to the documents that I used to plan the curriculum. Obviously, you know, oh no, that's slightly different, that's the new drug framework. Personal learning and thinking skills come into it slightly. Big picture of the curriculum, but the main ones that I would use, which is slightly scary, and the ones that I see schools using are obviously the national curriculum, key stages 3 and 4, and the content and the level descriptors that exist in there. So that's two documents to start with if you're planning across two key stages. Functional skills criteria for ICT, in the words of the national strategy, is a subset of the national curriculum, but quite clearly detailed about the skills that are expected. Also, I don't know how many of you remember this, it was a pink document, the framework for teaching ICT came out of the national strategy, was meant to exemplify all the stuff that went on in the national curriculum. And the other one that I have seen people using, because nobody understood all of the rest of it, was the NAA assessment criteria. Does anyone remember the Key Stage 3 test that didn't happen? Was it 2-3 years ago it was pulled here, wasn't it? And I see a lot of schools using this because it's an incredibly easy kind of progression to look at. So at the moment, I would say, and I'm quite happy to anyone to up the stakes on this one, that those are the kind of documents that we use to plan the curriculum for ICT in England. Anyone want to add anything else? Exam specs obviously come into it, don't they? Key Stage 4, Key Stage 5. Really confusing. What has also come out now, and I'm probably stealing NACE's thunder because I shouldn't do this, any of you that are members of NACE, NACE have produced a draft curriculum for ICT, but on the other side of the fence, the Computing at Schools agenda have produced their computing curriculum as well. So we've got another potential gunfight going on here. What I'm really interested in is basically what everybody thinks about what we do with our curriculum. It's been opened up. It's being thrown out to us. We have incredible, powerful lobbyists out there. There was an English sentence in there somewhere. And my concern is that if we do end up with these two on different sides of the fence, that actually we'll spend so much time fighting with each other about what's important that it will just disappear altogether. So I just wondered what people's thoughts were on what should be in it, on whether anyone's actually had a look at either of these curricula, what we want to keep, what we want to change, where we actually drive ICT in schools now. Because it's actually quite an exciting time, really, because we have the potential to completely do what on earth we want. However, there lies risks within that about the standard of education that the children get, the kind of coverage that they get depending on where you are in the country. And then there's also the big issue of what goes on within subjects as well, the kind of professional stuff, I guess.
I think it's a practical consideration, the nuts and bolts. There aren't going to be enough people to teach computer science for start.
Nope.
They aren't out there. So then you have to co-opt people from industry to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So that will mean that you have to have change management within the school. So in that sense, it would be good if you then said, right, let's go down that line, but let's bring other people in and create a digital culture as opposed to just computing or just ICT. So that's a bigger umbrella, and it's more of a step change. But then it brings in the thing that you have to get your supplies in. What are you going to do if you're going to use Arduino in the school? You're going to have to bring in someone who's going to use that within the school. You're going to have to co-opt how that person comes into the school. And you're going to have the funding to make it sustainable as well.
Oh, yeah, because there's no money.
Otherwise, you're going to get Pearson and you're going to get all the other chains coming in and say, we'll do your computer science and we'll draft you a whole load of stuff and you'll have this Trojan mouse stuff. Which will sort of take over schools, and you'll be back in the same position of doing stuff in a linear way that isn't creative. And I think that's a really big worry that I would have. That's my view.
I just interested in how the examination board's going to
But in the Gove speech, he said you're going to work with partnerships like Google, like Microsoft, and those are going to be more.
They're fine, yeah, except
the exam boards are actually rewriting at the moment.
Exam boards are going to have to sort of.
If you look at the iZones in the States, if you look up iZones in New York, they are having to determine new metrics to deal with this stuff because it's a cultural change. You can't have the old metrics. For the new ways of doing things.
Yeah. I'm just thinking when you're saying getting teachers in, or not teachers, that's a traditional model of delivery, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, do we need teachers as such?
Well, no, because you could actually train up the students themselves if you had a good enough expert within the classroom situation.
Yeah.
They could be your experts.
I think one of the other things that concerns me as well, and having kind of talked to the Computing at Schools people, is quite how niche a market computing would be still. And I understand that one of the terms, there's actually somebody, a teacher that I was working with, used the term computational thinking rather than computing. But that's kind of a stream of maths, isn't it, in that sense?
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Well, it is, isn't it, you know, or knitting or whatever. But it's just a program.
If you substitute the word knitting for computing, that's always a good one to do. Because it gives you a whole other context.
I understand knitting, I don't understand computing.
It seems to me there's two fights to have, really, aren't there? One is about the pragmatism of what can we do with the teaching profession we have and the circumstances we find ourselves in. That's one fight. So that's quite a difficult one to solve. The way that you describe it.
But should we be limited by our teachers?
Well, that's what I don't.
Because, I mean, to me, it's like you have your vision of where you want to go,
I think,
and
fight.
Then you make
it happen. That's what I prefer. I think
very idealistic.
And the other fight is about what's important for children to know. Not in the sense of being prepared for industry,
no.
Although that's important, of course, but what's important for them.
Yeah.
Now, when I say that, I'm taking that learner-centred approach.
Yeah.
What is it that I, as a child, is going to be my interest to be engaged with for fulfilment as I go through school, not just for long-term fulfilment when I leave school, fulfillment as I go through school, for embracing what's important about my human culture that's around me, what's been the thing that's driven, like, the world around me, and permits me to embrace my future fully. Those things, these are really high-minded words. But that fight is the one that I think is more important.
But that's the conversation that you have, isn't it? Is actually, where do I want my children to be when they leave this school? What kind of, you know?
Where's the venue for that conversation? At the moment, it's fractured.
Yes.
So there's an ICT debate going on with NACE. A computing debate going on.
I think, to be fair, they have spoken to each other. I think there has been some working together.
And they often care for each other in deep ways. Lots of computing teachers are also ICT teachers.
Yeah.
And they know the problems they face there. They also know about the democracy of the situation and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that the actual debate's happening together. No. The debate's actually fractured.
I think as well, I think the Royal Society are due to release a report later on this month. Is it tomorrow?
I believe so.
Which is their quite in-depth research into this, and it would appear that they have been quite pragmatic about what they've done, and so that they haven't gone one side or the other and gone into sort of specialist camps. One of the other issues that I see, and even if you look at the existing national curriculum, although apparently not after the end of this year, is the actual breadth that's incorporated within that. And you do end up with, I think, teachers becoming... There's an expectation for ICT teachers, I don't know how many of us around the table are, to be able to go from programming all the way through to something like web design, animation. And now they're all linked, but actually you're meant to be a master in all of, or mistress in my case, of all those subjects, aren't you? And it's, to me, it's where sort of something like the stuff that you'll do, Leon, with the social, you know, the media stuff, actually does that fit somewhere else better in the curriculum? And are we actually, you know, should IT be taught as a discrete subject anymore? And I'm going to hide under the table after that one, because that normally kind of is like, whoa!
One of the things that I'm concerned about with teaching and programming, and I'm just going to say, I used to work for BEC, and I now work for partnership schools, but I'm not teaching IT.
No, but the experience is fine, yeah.
To do with the provision of systems, nothing to do with that. But I'm going to use an example of my own son, who is at university in the middle of a physics degree. He did do a GCSE in ICT, only got a grade B because he couldn't bother with the coursework, but because his maths A-level and further maths A-level and physics A-level was all A-stars, goes to university, finds that for the physics degree he needs to start programming in C++ because they ask them to write programs to control their experiments, and he picks it up because he's got...
An incentive.
Because for the further maths in physics, which he knows just like that. Now, the same in more creative industries as well. You're good at music, you're good at art. When you find you need to start programming, you hit up the computer programs that you need, you know, and especially if you've also got the maths skills, because often the maths and the science skills help.
Not necessarily,
project,
because
you know?
It's about collaboration.
Yeah. Okay,
and that's the thing we need to learn in schools as well, which has not been
discussed. So, what I think is a set of generic skills that when you find yourself doing a higher level qualification or doing a job where you need to program, you pick it up. I mean, I myself in my mid-40s did an MSc in computing.
Yeah.
And I picked up Visual Basic and a bit of Java and stuff like that. I've forgotten it again now.
I have to interrupt you. How can you say you picked up when you did an MSc? That's not picking up, is it? That's studying.
Oh, well, yeah, but a lot of, like, because it was an MSc in computing, a lot
study.
Of it was database design and stuff like that, but I had to show I could do a bit of programming. Now, 10 years later, I can't remember those, but if next week I need to program a bit of Java, if I'd find a book, now I'd go on the internet, and I'd learn how to do it again. So what I'm saying is, you have, if you've got the right mindset, you pick up the programming when you need it. And so how much do we need to teach in schools, is what I'm saying.
Because, there's the other concern I have with what you're saying. You don't mind me.
Because
I like what you're saying. I've got a similar experience. There's a concern I have about what's important to know about in the computing world and ICT world. I'm not trying to differentiate really. What's important to know about? Which sometimes goes beyond skill. It's not to do with simply. It's something to do with attitude. Sometimes it's general knowledge. It's a breadth and a width of knowing things.
So when we're talking about computing in schools, is it more about database design, systems analysis, that sort of side of things, or is it about, it's not necessarily about learning a programming language?
Well, I think it should be more about things like Minecraft and things like that, which Minecraft is a game where, you know, you've got wonderful bits where you've got to construct logic gates, but it's social, it's collaborative, and the people who are participating in it are actually modelling things for themselves online in their own focus groups. So enabling that kind of pedagogy is what I'm talking about. That is where the change has got to come in.
And you know, in the diplomas.
But, you know, I haven't even gone. Where are those going? Does anyone know?
That was the last time I really engaged with this properly. You know, the creative and media one was the most popular, wasn't it? It was really, from what I gather, was very popular. And that's where the gaming was, if I remember correctly. It wasn't, you know, that's the gaming element of learning was in that particular
But then you have to think about how you construct those learning spaces, especially with devices like this, and how you then attune those social interactions in order to augment the pedagogies. And that's a whole other ball game that no one's going to address until it starts to become so ubiquitous that people can't, well, it is there now, really, but it's just being built out. It's being, you know, pushed out at the moment. So this gives us an opportunity to sort of explore some of those things.
I think you'd hit the nail on the head when you use the term logic, because it's that form of thinking, isn't it, really? And so what you're talking about is actually it's a broader set of a mindset, really, isn't it, that you do want the creative element, but in order to be successful to do with computing, you actually need that very logical kind of train of thought. And that not everyone's suited to that. It kind of scares me, the concept of having to...
No, it's not. That seems to be... An either or. And I think certainly Key Stage 3, there needs to be really firm grounding in OCT and in computing to be in the same curriculum, separately. And then students can all decide.
And some of the discussions that I'd heard, certainly with the Royal Society, was that actually if you're talking about computational thinking and algorithms, actually that's maths, isn't it? And they were going, well, how far does the curriculum go? And it was like, well, early years, foundation stage. And I don't joke about the knitting pattern. You know, that's just an algorithm, isn't it? It's repeated and you know what it is.
Coding for knitting. It just gives you a whole other mindset. But the point is...
Right, so you do that one with Mr. Gove. Knitting on the curriculum,
but the point is that Gove has said, they don't know where it's going because you have to be highly agile.
Yes.
So then you then have to construct a learning space in which you are highly agile, in which you have a strategy in how to learn. Where's the vision in that? That surely is the challenge. And in order to do that, you have to remodel your management, you have to remodel the timetable, you have to remodel outsiders coming into the school, and you have to remodel the curriculum. And all those things, and you have to remodel...
So we are going back to the diplomas, because actually that's what an awful lot of that was about.
So you have transactional skills.
Can I mention BSF as well, or will I get stabbed for that one?
But the point is that those learning spaces and how you construct them, because they're already doing this outside of school.
Yes.
So, you know...
But I think with one of the decisions that we're doing next after this one, it will be about UTCs, which ultimately is potentially one of the delivery mechanisms upon which the sort of vision that Gove is trying to say, which actually is industry's got to lead because they're the employers, and education has got to develop young people who can be employed.
But you still can't use that learning for learning's sake, can you? I mean, I know, you know, we do all want to earn money, and yes, it is important that we get into business and industry and everything else, but there is also a joy of learning, isn't there? Like,
absolutely.
You know, picking up an MSc in computing, because I guess you were just bored, you know?
No, I decided I didn't want to be a science teacher anymore, and I wanted to move into
education. Okay, there was an incentive there.
But if you look at organisations like Coding for Kids, which is another one, where a lot of coders would like to come into schools, and that they're blundering about with the pedagogy, and people are helping them. But then what you've got to understand is that learning space, and you've got to give up the traditional pedagogies, institutional infrastructures, and remodel them, because you're not going to move forwards, and that has big implications for procurement. And for all those things, and the problem with bringing people into the classroom is typically a coder will come from a small business into the classroom, say, I'll give my time. The minute a big client comes along to them, they're off because they need to make money. So what you need is a monetary infrastructure to be able to put people in the classroom and keep them there in a sustained way so they can follow through on projects.
You keep talking about being in a classroom, actually, and part of me is thinking, well, do they actually physically need to be there?
No, they don't.
I'm just thinking of the, I don't know if you've come across the IT ambassador scheme that's been championed by BT, where it's almost like phone an expert, really, and it's a safe, online mentoring thing, and it would be that kind of thing that you could come in, so the kid's got the coding there, actually there's a bug in it or whatever, but they can send it to somebody whose job it is to do that. They volunteer their time because it's part of their corporate social responsibility and they're big enough to absorb it. And these young people get access to some of the best minds in the country, really. But then you do also want, I'm thinking of Young Rewired State as well. You want the maverick element to that as well, don't you? And Pixel Hate, and I don't know if you come across Pixel Hate, Matthew Applegate. Because he's out of the establishment, in a sense. That's what I mean by maverick.
It's good to go. It's about bringing children into the establishment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's saying, take the government's data and do it.
Yeah, okay, it's maverick in the sense that it lies... No, you're right. It lies outside the standard infrastructure of a school and is damn successful because of it, yeah.
Alternatives. Management models that need to come in, and in some ways saying that we can't get a handle on this subject, it's too agile, it's too iterative, too quickly. How do you deal with that? How do you manage stuff that you can't know about?
Whoever writes the document, that by the time it's implemented, things have moved on. So we're always going to be a year or two.
One of the criticisms of the national curriculum, one of the reasons that I love it is because actually you can make it do what you want to do. The IT one, there is nothing in there that prevents you from doing anything
needs to be worded.
Then there's the imagination.
One model would be, quite simply, is that the big firms subsidise or bankroll localised action research to deal around this stuff. How else do other people do it out there in industry? Why don't we have a model like that in schools? Why don't we break off a bit of the timetable and do that? That's vision. That's not piddling about with more curricular areas, which are just going to go down, I'm sorry, cul-de-sacs. I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
No, you're right.
So you want to say
something? Yeah, well, I'm from the Netherlands, and what I teach computer science and art history. I got a master in both fields, so it's interesting to listen a bit around over here, because you can be a great programmer, and you can create a great program, but nobody buys that program because it looks... Does it look good?
Yeah.
And what I learned is that we have students, and I teach them both subjects in art and looking at art and visual arts and audiovisual arts. And at the same time, I'm teaching computer science to those same kids, programming in Java, C++, things like that. And what I now do is because I can do both ways, I combine my time, and they get a mark for the design in the arts department, and they get a mark for the programming and the computer technology. If they don't have the art part in there, they work in project groups, and there will be a designer in there, or there will be some kids in there that aren't that good in programming, but they have to collaborate together. Project-based, brings two methods. I just apply that, explain that. They have to learn that from a theory point of view as well. And then they have to go around with it, work in phases, create, share, recreate. And what I put with the senior year steward, that they have to communicate on their own with a computer company or with a programmer to validate what they thought of and created. So you bring the outside school or the outside world back into the school and integrate it. And that works quite well.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I combine time and then it's fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good model, actually. And